Good morning. I want to thank each and every one of you for giving me some time off. I sat down and I realized that even during the pandemic, when everybody else had time off, I was taping a sermon every week for it to go online, so I really hadn't had any vacation time. So it was nice to stay home. I slept 12 to 14 hours every day, at least for the first week until I caught up a little bit. And then I didn't sleep a whole lot because I reread all of my Agatha Christie books. You know, real spiritual research there. It was a wonderful time. Did absolutely nothing. Larry continued to do the cooking, and the house is a mess because I haven't cleaned. But that's okay. We're still here, and we still love the Lord. I do want to particularly thank you because this was a really refreshing and rejuvenating time for me. And I don't think I realized how much I needed it until I got in the middle of it. So thank you very, very much. Let us pray, please. Spirit of Truth, move now in vibrant words into our cluttered hearts that we may hear your voice and live. For we long to be glad servants, O Lord, servants of your hidden holy reign as Christ the King. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Welcome to this Sunday before Thanksgiving, the last Sunday in the church year. This was a difficult week for me, my first week back preparing a sermon. I could have written about Christ the King, I could have written about Thanksgiving, or I could have written about our scripture with Jesus and Pilate confronting each other. I took my pick. It was nice to have a choice and weave some together, I hope. This is the last Sunday of the church calendar. As you know, the church calendar is different from our normal, everyday, lay calendar. Our church calendar ends today with this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. And it begins a new year next Sunday on Advent, the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is the beginning of the church year, and Church of Christ is the end. After Advent, we then celebrate the birth of Jesus, and the church calendar follows his life, beginning next with his teaching ministry, and then the season of Lent, when we begin focusing on his death. Then after Lent, we have the season of Easter, celebrating the resurrection. And we have the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. And in the time after the days of Pentecost, we look at the teachings of Jesus, and we try and live as he would have us live. That is the focus throughout Pentecost. This is when we reach a climax of sort on this Sunday, with the celebration of the coming reign of Christ throughout the world. Next Sunday, as I say, we begin a new year. So if you want to make a New Year's resolution, that would be wonderful. Your resolution would be to come to church the first Sunday of the church year next week and every other Sunday after that. That's an okay resolution to make. A five-year-old was stalling to go to bed one night, and he asked his father if he could have some juice. And his father came in and he said, no more juice tonight. In this household, I'm king of the juice. And the little boy looked at his dad and said, no, Daddy, that's not right. My Sunday school teacher said that Jesus was the king of the Jews. You may groan if you wish. It is rather bad, isn't it? Pilate summoned Jesus to his palace and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus didn't answer the question directly. How could he? The title King of the Jews was hardly expansive enough to sum up his mission. But finally, he does conclude that yes, he is a king. That is why he has come into the world. That is why he was born. Today is known as Christ the King Sunday in many churches. And I'll tell you one reason we have it. Around the world in 1925, Pope Pius XI wanted people to know that this is Christ's world. It does not belong to the emerging dictators in the world or of our day. Mussolini had been in power for 3 years. Hitler had been out of prison for 1 year, but was drawing people in multiple numbers to his fledgling Nazi party. So the Pope had the audacity to declare in the face of these dictators coming up, despite them, that Christ was king, reminding Christians everywhere where our ultimate loyalty truly belongs. And that is why today we need to take heed of the meaning of Christ the King Sunday. The Pope's edict has been shared all around the world, and all kinds of denominations celebrate Christ the King Sunday today. Christ the King. I want to begin with what at the time, and some places even here today, a radical idea. Our first allegiance, our ultimate loyalty, is indeed to Christ. I'll say that again. Our ultimate loyalty is to Christ. The philosopher Tillich told us years ago that God is our ground of being and our ultimate concern. So Christ is the object of our ultimate loyalty and allegiance. And that shouldn't be a radical idea, I suppose, but in today's world, I believe that it is. Our allegiance is to Christ, not to our political party, not to even any of the politicians. It's not to the opinions of our family or friends or neighbors or what we see on TV. It's not even loyalty to our nation. Loyalty to Christ is our major and primary commitment as Christians. Now, this is a risky thing to say from a pulpit in the year 2021. There's some people today that confuse their political views with their allegiance to Christ, and they're not bashful about branding those who disagree as enemies of the gospel. We've seen it happen before in earlier generations. Even in my time, there were battles in this country to keep African Americans out of our schools, our libraries, even away from public drinking fountains. This argument was framed by some people in religious terms. They wanted to propagate the idea that it was God's will to have the races separated. Well, God spoke to us in a different way. and the people that heard God's call in a different way work to bring about His will in this nation. So we have segregated schools. And theoretically, all of our society is segregated. I'm sure it's not always everywhere, but it should be. That has been our call from Jesus Christ, that all men and women are equal. Be careful when you baptize your political views and make them holy and sacrosanct. You may one day discover that you are on the opposite side of Christ. So I think the first question we can ask ourselves is that time-honored question, WWJD, what would Jesus do? When you're wondering what is right or what is wrong, whether to do something or not do it, think, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would He do? And if you open your eyes and open your heart and open your mind to receiving an answer, what would Jesus do? That is a pretty good pointer in the right direction for you. Political positions are very, very complicated. But most of the time, if we truly consider what Jesus would do were He in our situation, we will think, we will love, and we will act in a way that is consistent with the call and the love of Christ Jesus. Christ is worthy of our adoration, first of all, because of His willingness to identify with us poor humans. John says it all, the prologue to his gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What an amazing truth. He became one of us. He became one of us, just like you and me. He experienced the same kind of feelings that we have, joy and grief, hope and despair. All of our feelings, a whole gamut of them, Jesus Christ experienced Himself as He lived among us. The Reverend Paul Moses tells a delightful story about something that happened in his church one Sunday. The church family was down in the basement, as usual, before church began, having their coffee and donuts. And all of a sudden, they heard a commotion under a table. Well, Reverend Moses walked over, and he looked under the table, and he spied a three-year-old under the table with his matchbox car going vroom, 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 and at the other end of the table with his legs crossed, ready to vroom, vroom, right back, was one of the most distinguished elders in the entire church. He had joined the little boy to play with the matchbox cars. And Pastor Moses smiled and said, "If I ever thought about what heaven would be and what I want the church to be, it would be like this, that every now and then life would open up and joy would abound." Both of these people, young and old, were thoroughly enjoying what they were doing, totally out of character for the elder, but right up the alley for that little boy who had brought the bigger and larger and older man into his playpen. That's what the church should be, a place where we are comfortable being with each other and loving each other and doing things with each other even though we might want to be dignified in the process. Leave it aside. Wear your jeans tomorrow. You don't have to dress up to come here. We don't have to be perfect all of the time. One of my college professors taught me that. You don't have to be perfect. Let up, be easy on yourself. I say that to you today. We worship Jesus Christ and praise his glory because of his compassion for everyone that he met on earth. It makes no difference who they are, how much or how little they deserved it, but he looked upon everyone with special eyes. He saw each of us through the eyes of love. Through the eyes of love. Someone suggested a practice to me years ago, and I do this every now and then, and it's wonderful. When you see someone, particularly someone with whom you're having a little difficulty, picture the Christ that is in them. See them and see the Christ that is in them shining through. That will bless you, and it will also shift a little your attitude, your feelings, and your reactions and relationships to and with that person. So look for the Christ in the people around you. There's a story about a member of the British royal family. They went to India, and the crown prince was in the group. This was a couple of generations before Queen Elizabeth. And he got off the plane and he shook hands with dignitaries, and there's this huge barrier out there with all the Indian people on the other side. And he said, take away those barriers, which they did. So suddenly the heir to the British throne was in the midst of a flock of people, all ages, all castes, mixing together. And years later, a British royal person, I can't tell you who, came back to India. And when that plane landed, there was a big sign held up over hundreds of people. And it said, this is the prince of the outcast. He had broken down all the barriers. And when the crowd had come up to him, there were outcasts in it. They remembered that. Once a man traveled a great distance for an interview with a distinguished scholar. He was ushered into the man's study, where he noticed that it was filled ceiling to floor with bookcases that had all kinds of books. There was hardly any place to add anything else. And he spoke to him and said, Doctor, I notice that the walls of your study are lined with books from the ceiling to the floor. No doubt you have read them all. I know you have written many yourself. You have traveled extensively, and doubtless you've had the privilege of conversing with some of the world's wisest people. I've come a long way to ask you just one question. Tell me, of all you have learned, what is the one thing most worth knowing? Putting his hand on his guest's shoulder, the scholar replied with emotion in his voice. My dear sir, of all of the things I have learned, only two are really worth knowing. The first is, I am a great sinner. And the second is, Christ is a great Savior. I am a sinner, and Christ is my Savior. He is a great Savior. Because he is compassionate enough and giving of himself, emptying himself so much that he comes to earth and lives among us. And because He is a lover of all humanity, even the outcast. That's why we celebrate the reign of Christ on this last Sunday of the church year. That's why we know that the day will come when every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. So, this coming week, when you list the things for which you are thankful on Thursday, remember to thank God for your Savior, to thank God for bringing you to Him. And now I'd like to end with what the little three-year-old and the dignified church elder would sing together. Jesus loves me, this I know. Thanks be to God. Amen.